Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on, buddy?
Going all right. It was quite a strange Sunday with no Packer football, with Packers having a bye week. So, you know, a very strange Sunday, but we made it through. You know, no Packers to talk about tonight, which is strange. But like I said, we made it through. Unfortunately, you know, the Badgers couldn't pull it off against Michigan. They lost by 7. So I, it's a disappointing loss for Wisconsin. But, however, you know, they have nothing to be ashamed of. They went toe-to-toe with Michigan. And, you know, at the end of the day, they can, move on and get ready for Ohio State in a couple weeks. So, you know, I was watching part of the Monday Night Football game as well. And, you know, the Vikings defense, they are definitely for real. But, you know, early on in the game, the Giants were making too many mistakes, and it's looking like the Vikings are going to win. They're up 24-10 in the fourth quarter. And like I said, Troy, they're making too many mistakes early. But, you know, other than that, not too much going on. So how are things going out in Western PA?
Well, another great day. You know, for like you said, for me, no Packer game. Of course, plenty of Steeler talk out here. So it's funny how the NFL is a week-to-week league. Steelers embarrassed, you know, 2 weeks ago, and this week they're the ones that did the embarrassing to the Chiefs. So, you know, another great day. Nice fall day again. Beautiful fall day out here. But, Evan, you know, tonight's going to be a great show. Normally we talk NFL on Tuesday, but there were some good games yesterday. We talked last week about the undefeateds, and we knew probably one or two of them were going to go down, and two of them went down. So we'll start right there. New England Patriots 7 shut out at home against Buffalo. Not only a loss, but shut out at home. What were your thoughts there?
Yeah, well, it's actually for the Patriots, it's their first time ever being shut out at home in organization history. So they got that going for them. And I'm not surprised at all. The quarterback they had, Bissett, he's playing with a hurt thumb. Rex Ryan had a whole week to get ready for him. And it just showed. And basically, you can pretty much, I know the Patriots are sitting at 3-1, but pretty much everything the Patriots did after the first 4 weeks of the year, not Troy, you can get rid of it. Just get rid of it. You know, film doesn't matter. On offense, nothing matters now. Because as of 12:01 this morning, Tom Brady is reinstated. So, but, you know, the Bills, yeah, they're, you know, Rex Ryan, I don't even know what to start with Rex Ryan. I really don't. He can annoy the crap out of me. And when the Patriots and Bills play each other later on in the year in Buffalo, Buffalo better be ready to take a complete ass whooping. That's all I'm going to say right there. Because Rex Ryan basically spent the week imitating, you know, especially in this press conference, imitating Bill Belichick, messing, you know, talking smack, and just he was able to back it up yesterday. But if the Patriots, I think if they would have had Julian Edelman play quarterback, the offense might have stood a chance against Buffalo. But they finally ran out of steam the week before Tom Brady comes back. But going 3-1 without Tom Brady is very impressive. And, you know, Buffalo, to me, Buffalo is nothing special. There's really not anything special about them. Offensively, they didn't do a whole lot. They didn't do much offensively, you know, and defensively, what do you? You shut out a team that was on their number 3 quarterback, a guy that probably would have been on the practice squad to start the year. But I was just very irritated, like I said, with Rex Ryan in this one. And this game, like I said, throw it out. Every game the Patriots have played up to this point, throw it out. They don't matter anymore because now Tom Brady's back. That's my feeling on it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, Tom Brady comes back, and it'll be a totally different team moving forward. Like you said, 3-1. I think Bill Belichick is quite happy at 3-1 after four games without Tom Brady. Now you look at that division. Buffalo got the win, but like you said, when this is a Brady-led team against Buffalo, I'm not so sure that they're going to get shut out. You can almost bet that that's not going to happen. I wouldn't guarantee it. Can never guarantee you because you never know in this league. But Tom Brady coming back, you know he's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder after missing four games. I mean, he missed a quarter of the season, Evan. So I feel bad for any team. I know that there might be sometimes when you take your foot off the gas, when you're really annihilating someone. However, something's telling me this year, Evan, that the Patriots will not be one of those teams that let up if they're annihilating someone. They may just keep running up the score. So that was one undefeated team that went down. The other team, Baltimore and Oakland, we talked about that one, and we thought Oakland had a very good shot, and sure enough, the Baltimore Ravens have fallen to 3-1, so I'll turn it over to you on there. Baltimore, Oakland,
yeah,
you know, Oakland, that up-and-coming team, gives Baltimore their first loss.
And I had said on Thursday that the only undefeated team, other than Philly, because obviously they weren't playing, but the only undefeated team to get out of the weekend more than likely unscathed was going to be Denver, and it looks like the Vikings are going to get out unscathed. But Oakland, Baltimore, this is probably, to me, the game of the week, the game of the weekend. It was actually a very entertaining game. There are lots of crappy football games on Sunday. I think all the games but a couple were crappy, and this was one of the good ones. Derek Carr looked pretty effective, nothing special numbers-wise other than the four touchdown passes. But he was very efficient with the football, and he kept the chains moving. He kept Baltimore off the field early on in the game, and the Raiders defense did just enough. And that's actually been the struggle for the Raiders with their defense, and they did just enough. And you got to tip your hat to Steve Smith. He just is the ageist wonder. And I think this is likely his last year, but Smith just had an incredible game, and it was very awesome to see. And you know, this is just a good matchup all around. It came down to the final possession of the Ravens, and you know, Ravens had a chance to win this game late, but they got forced to go for it on a 4th-and-10, and the ball ended up falling incomplete. And this is a game I wish Fox or CBS, whoever, would have showed the game from the start instead of jumping in with 2 minutes left in the game or less than 2 minutes left in the game. Because the game that they played in the morning was the very boring Patriots and Bills, and the even more boring Lions and Bears. So this is a game I wish they would, the networks would have shown, because, as I said, this was a very entertaining game. And the Raiders are an exciting team to watch, and the Ravens, did they lose? Yeah, but the Ravens are going away anytime soon. They look like a very – when healthy, and last year they weren't healthy at all, but when healthy, the Ravens look like a very formidable team. And the Bengals and the Steelers better watch out for the Ravens later on this year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the Ravens respond. We talked about never apologizing for a win in the schedule. So this was a tough test, I thought, for Baltimore, one of the real tests. Maybe it brought them back down to reality. Like, hey, you're going to play against a good team, and these are things that can happen right here, which is a defeat. But I like Oakland, Evan. You and I both talked about it. Jack Del Rio going to to Oakland as a coach. He brought in some structure to a franchise that literally got used to losing and used to just a bunch of, you know, fiasco. I mean, I know John Gruden had done some things and had set that team up to go to a Super Bowl, but it's just a franchise that had been used to a little bit of losing. And now I think Jack Del Rio can restore a little bit of pride in that franchise. So we'll go to that Denver game, Evan. You know, that's a team that, even without Peyton Manning, has found a way to really figure out how to win. And, it starts defensively. You know, this is a team that is built around that defense right now. They're going to ride that defense as long as it will go. I know Simeon was now injured in the game, but without Peyton Manning, this is a team that looks like they could get back to the Super Bowl and actually maybe contend to repeat. I know it's a long season, but Evan, that defense is really good.
Yeah, they're really good. And one of the things they do really well and they did last night, because the game ended last night, because they ended up having a lightning delay, but they get after the quarterback. They get after the quarterback very well. And I know DeMarcus Ware is out with the fractured ulnar bone in his elbow, but when you got Von Miller and Wolf, the way Wolf played yesterday, two and a half sacks, and you know that's a defense that you gotta be, you gotta watch out for. And Von Miller takes a lot of attention off from the opposing offenses, and other guys in the defense step up when they need to, like Wolf, and to lead with his two interceptions. And I remember after week one, when Tampa Bay just had a humongous game offensively, Jameis Winston had a huge game, I think, with like five touchdown passes or four touchdown passes, one of the two. And everyone was anointing Tampa Bay as going to be that team that shocks everyone. Because every year there's one team that shocks everybody and comes out of nowhere, and people are like, holy crap, where did this team come from? And after week one, a lot of people are making that team Tampa Bay. You know, Tampa Bay the last couple weeks have gone out and looked bad. And I guess anyone can look bad against the Denver defense. But Tampa Bay looked bad the past couple weeks. They got shellacked by week two and, you know, week three, you know, and now they get shellacked by Denver. And, you know, Patrick Lynch came in and played very efficient football. He didn't make mistakes, kept the chain moving. He's effective with the football. And Simeon, he's been playing really well up to this point, too. And he's pretty efficient yesterday himself, 5-7 for 68 yards before getting hurt. Denver, I'm not going to say they have a chance to repeat, just because I think come playoff time and the quality of teams go up quite a bit and the competition gets much tougher, I don't know if Lynch or Simeon have the arm to push Denver back into that Super Bowl. They, of course, have the defense, but I don't think Denver is going to repeat. But Denver is definitely playing very strong football right now. And what Denver needs to do is just find a more consistent running game. Anderson, great week one, and he did pretty well last week. But this game, 19 carries for 49 yards. He didn't really do that much to be impressive. But you know, you got to tip your hat to Denver, and you know, we'll see what Denver does next week when they go up against Atlanta. They get to play probably one of the top two wide receivers in all of football next week, and Julio Jones, who just completely torched the other Super Bowl team from last year yesterday. So what are your thoughts on that Denver and Tampa Bay game?
Yeah, I think Denver, like I said, Evan, they're going to go as far as that defense takes them. Offensively, you're working with a kid, and I call him a kid, that is still learning a little bit. And as he learns, that offense will get a little bit better. But you've got some weapons offensively in C.J. Anderson, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. They've got some pieces on offense. And I think Simeon, as he grows comfortable, will actually be able to help that offense. But right now, you know, when you've got a defense that is playing as well as that Denver defense is playing, you don't need to have an offense that's going to scorch you every time. But I think that offense has a lot of pieces that can get better. And that's scary because the more he plays, the better that that offense is going to get. Now, we'll see how much the shoulder injury hampers his progress and his playing time. We'll see what happens. Want to switch over, Evan, to teams that finally got a win. And I'll start right in the NFC North. Detroit, Chicago. I didn't give the Bears a chance with the way that that Lion offense had been playing. I know their defense was not very good, but the Bears offense was probably as bad. But Detroit, and I'll let the cat out of the bag, Evan. We give our Pooh Ball Award at the end of tonight. Detroit had to make the list of nominees to win the Pooh the Bet Award. That Detroit team did not play very well against Chicago, and Chicago finally got off the schneid, got win number one of the year against Detroit. And I'm not going to sit here and say this was great about this game, this was great about this game. I think both of these teams are not very good this year, Evan. Detroit, they've got Stafford, and we all know about Stafford. This is a guy that has been inconsistent his whole career. He can look like he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league at times, and then other times it doesn't look like he knows how to throw a football. The Bears, they're just a hot mess. But Jay Cutler out, and they have question marks at running back. They've got Jeffrey at wide receiver, and defensively, they've got a bunch of young guys trying to play. To me, both these teams have been just not very good football teams, but one of them, well, I shouldn't say that, could have ended in a tie. One of them had to come away with a win, and Chicago gutted one out, but I was not impressed with this game at all. What about you?
Do I really get a comment on this game? Because this game was just a horrible game, and Matt Stafford, two horrible interceptions, one of them right before halftime. No excuses there. You're trying to get a late score before the half. You got to protect the football. And Stafford threw a horrible throw, got intercepted, and almost taken back for a touchdown. Hoyer, who's been the definition of journeyman quarterback his entire career, had a very efficient game. Howard, who hasn't done much at all as a running back, had a very good game. And Eddie Royal hasn't been relevant since he played for Denver probably, it seems like, 40, 50 years ago. That's how long it's been he's relevant, it seems like. He has a big game against Detroit. You know, Detroit should be embarrassed. And I hope Caldwell's seat is extremely warm because on paper, and I know Detroit's got some injuries, especially on defense, but on paper, this is a pretty good. This is a pretty good football team on paper. There's no reason why they should lose to the Bears at all. There's none whatsoever. But if you saw the way they competed in the second half of that game last week against Green Bay, and then you see this game, and it's like, what the hell? And that's an issue of Detroit. Detroit played outstanding football one week, and the next week they look like they shouldn't even be on the football field. And that's, you know, the first half last week, that's how they looked. They looked like they shouldn't have been on the football field. But the second half, they played much better. In this game, start to finish, they played awful. They just played awful football the entire game. And then the Bears, what the hell are the Bears doing cutting Robbie Gould right before camp ended? And the kicker they signed to replace him, Bart, he finishes 1-for-2. And the field goal he made is one that would have made it asleep. And he would have made it with his eyes closed for the one that he missed. And then the punter, and I hope this is a – I'm looking at the box score. I hope this is a misprint. He had four punts, and the average was 14-yard average for punts. If that's not a misprint for the Bears punter, oh, my God, is that bad. But this game was just bad all the way around. And the Lions should be embarrassed that they let the Bears beat them like this. And I know it was only a 3-point game, but this didn't have 3-point game written on it, in my opinion, the way Stafford played. And I'm watching the replay of the interception he threw, and it was just awful, awful throw. So, I know this game was just bad.
Well, that's why I said just, I think, two bad football teams you got playing right here. And, you know, it's, like you said, Caldwell and this team, I mean, it's one of those things where offensively, against the Bears, they should not struggle. They should not have struggled against the bad Bears defense. Going to go where there's a very bad defense, but they decided to figure out a way to win, and that is the New Orleans Saints, Evan, going to San Diego against the Phillip Rivers team that was in complete control of this game. Complete control of this game until the very end. And then the Saints defense. The Saints defense came up with two turnovers late in the game, a fumble by Melvin Gordon, a fumble by Travis Benjamin, and, of course, the Saints have an offense with Drew Brees, and they came back and pulled off their first victory of the year. I was watching this game, and like I said, Evan, Chargers were in complete control of this game. All they had to do is not turn the ball over and two big turnovers at the end. So my question to you, do you credit the Saints defense for creating turnovers, or do you blame Gordon and Benjamin for those fumbles?
Well, they got to protect the football better. That's what the Chargers need to do. And the Chargers are 1-3. And all three losses the Chargers have had, they've had the lead going into the fourth quarter. In every single loss, they've had the lead going in the fourth quarter. And to me, Mike McCoy better get his resume updated. He better get that resume updated because he may not make it another couple weeks at the way that the Chargers are going. They can't finish games. And I put more of the blame on Gordon and Benjamin. Of course, I have both of them in fantasy football, both on the same in the same league. I have them both playing yesterday, but that's besides the point. They got to protect the football better, and that's what the Chargers didn't do. They got sloppy with the football late in the game, and they can't do that. They can't get sloppy with the football. And I feel horrible for Phillip Rivers. Has there ever been a quarterback as good as Phillip Rivers that just can't ever seem to catch a break? Injuries on his offensive line, injuries on running back, injuries on defense, injuries galore. He gets hurt, and it's like nothing can ever go his way. But yeah, you look at his career numbers. He's probably a future Hall of Famer, but his teams just don't make the playoffs anymore. Nothing that he's not doing. He's playing his ass off week in and week out. He's a competitor. I like Phillip Rivers. I just feel bad for him. And with the Saints, I have a very hard time giving the Saints defense credit for anything. The only thing I think I can really give the Saints defense credit for is they didn't get lost finding the football field. So that's just how bad the defense is. And, yeah, they made some key stops late in the game, but they gave up 34 points. The defense gave up 34 points. They just have to win a shootout. Drew Brees was careless with the football, too, with two interceptions. So let's not forget about that. And, I get to get McCoy. He might want to get his resume updated because I don't think he makes it through the year.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go one step further, Evan. I think they've had the lead in three of the games in the last 2 minutes. And that is not good. I was listening to NFL Network last night, and LaDainian Tomlinson and I believe Deion Sanders were on the show. And they were talking about you got to be a dog at the end of a game, and you got to know how to killer instinct. And Chargers just don't have it. And that comes from the top down. I think that comes from the top down. As a coach, you set the tempo for your team. And there was nothing. There was nothing there. And so, you look at it. part of me does feel bad for Phillip Rivers to have the ability that he has and just always coming up short. And I wanted to ask you that question about the fumbles, because we're getting to the end of the show, which means that the Pooh Ball Awards are going to be given out. And before I move into that, is there any other game that you want to talk about quickly?
No, I don't really have any other game I can talk about. I think I'm pretty much talked out. And if we're talking Pooh Ball Awards, you know, I have a couple that I have a hard time picking from. The one that really stands out to me is Arizona. How do you get outscored by the Los Angeles Rams? I almost said the St. Louis Rams. But how do you get outscored by the Los Angeles Rams? Seriously, this is the same Rams team that couldn't score a point in week one against a very bad 49er defense. And now you've lost two games in a row that you should have won. And you get embarrassed by the Rams in this game. Like, I know the Rams, they're a division opponent. They're a team that's familiar with you. But at the end of the day, how do you get outscored by the Rams? And I know the Rams got a strong defense. And I know, you know, when you got Carson Palmer going into concussion protocol, that definitely hinders things a little bit. But it's not like Palmer didn't play most of the game. He had 36 pass attempts for his 288 yards. He had quite a few passing attempts in this game. But he also had an interception. And he also had a fumble. I got to give it to the Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals are my Pooh Bet Award of the Week, because to get outscored by the Rams offense, who can't do a damn thing typically with the football, there's no excuse for it. That's where I'm going to leave it right there.
That's a good choice. And I'm giving two footballs away this week, Evan. And unfortunately, I hate to give the ball to a former Badger, but my poo balls go to Melvin Gordon and Travis Betjeman. That's why I asked you the question. Do you give that Saints defense credit for causing those fumbles, or is it more on the player? I thought it was on the player. You've got to protect the ball. You have to know what part of the game you're in. I know fumbles are part of the game. But watching that game, I just find a hard time to give credit to the defense for creating that turnover. Yeah, they're going tough to the ball. But you have to realize the only way that you're losing this game is by turning the ball over. And they're going to be trying to strip the ball. So I give my Pooh Ball Award to two guys on the Chargers, Melvin Gordon, Travis Benjamin. They get the Pooh Ball Award this week for basically handing the game back over to the Saints, a game the Chargers control. So you give the Pooh Ball to the Arizona Cardinals as a team. I give my award to Melvin Gordon and Travis Benjamin. They share the award on my side today. With that said, Evan, another great show in the books. No Packer talk, but good NFL talk tonight. You have any last words for the listeners?
No, I got nothing else to add. Just thanks for giving us a listen.
Sounds good. For Evan Witalison, I'm Troy Otradovic. Thanks for listening, everyone. Fasten your seatbelts. Put your foot on the gas. Evan and I will get back with you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Have a good night, everyone.